Chris Rock has spent a lot of time in the public eye recently. He hosted the MTV Video Awards. Last Sunday, he got to pick up his own award at the Emmys when his HBO variety series won for its writing. The Chris Rock Show's new season begins tonight. His latest HBO special ran earlier this summer. Rock is a fearless comic, whether he's tackling highly charged subjects like race and politics or just making fun of fellow celebrities. The first time he joined us on Fresh Air was in 1991, when he was a cast member on Saturday Night Live. One of the characters he did back then was a homeboy from the projects with his own talk show called I'm Chillin'.
Yo, 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 what's up? Welcome to I'm Chillin', the showsy with the housies. Now, I'm your host, on ski, to the highest degree, to the T.O.P. Yo, it's all about Mike. And sitting by my side, my main man, my ace in the hole, my New Jersey toe, my Esther Roll, my 10-foot pole, my Billy Joel, my Nat King Cole, my Dead Sea Scroll, my Dr. Show, my Helmet Cole, my Grassy Knoll, my Kid Creole, my Lakaja Foe.
We're going to hear an excerpt from Chris Rock's second Fresh Air interview in 1997, just before the release of a CD adapted from an HBO special, which furthered Rock's reputation for controversial material.
Probably the most controversial part of this part of this, cutting right to the chase, is what you describe as the civil war between black people. In fact, let me play an excerpt of this sketch.
Oh, boy. Now, we got a lot of things, a lot of racism going on in the world right now. Who's more racist, black people or white people? Black people. You know why? Because we hate black people, too. Everything white people don't like about black people really don't like about black people. There's some shit going on with black people right now. It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggas. And niggas have got to go. Every time black people want to have a good time, ignorant ass niggas up. Can't do shit. Can't do nothing. Can't keep a disco open more than 3 weeks. Grand opening, grand closing. Can't go to a movie the first week it come out. Why? Because niggas are shooting at the screen.
What is the range of reaction, Chris Rock, that you've gotten to this sketch?
Wow, you know what's weird?
What?
It's been nothing but positive reaction. This whole special, the only negative reaction I've ever gotten from this special, and I'm not jumping on a bandwagon here trying to get, you know, famous, is Bill Cosby.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't say anything. He just wanted his... In the beginning of the special, I have a bunch of old comedy album covers flashing. And these are just guys I grew up with and I really loved. And it's Bill Cosby and it's Woody Allen and it's Flip Wilson and Dick Gregory and Pygmy Markham and Eddie and Pryor. And they're just some, like, my heroes. And he wanted his album removed, so I guess he didn't like the special. But other than that, it's been nothing but good reaction.
Were you thinking about particular experiences you had or particular people you know when you wrote this?
Boy, again, it's like the Hulk syndrome. It's like, I'm not really thinking about anything. I'm just interpreting. This is like, you know, everything I said in that routine, my mother said, my father said, I heard in barbershops. It's not like I'm, you know, it's not like I invented anything, you know.
Help me
this
out.
This has been, you know, these views have been out there forever. Just nobody said it.
You know, I couldn't help but wonder, listening to it, if a white comic said exactly the same thing you said, it would have a completely different meaning, I think.
Yes, it would. Why would a white comic want to say what I said? Why would that ever be, in what context would that ever be necessary?
So what's the difference between you saying it and a white comic saying it?
I can say it. What's the difference between someone calling your kid an idiot and you calling your kid an idiot? It's a big difference. It's a huge difference.
Your
kid knows what you mean when you say it. Your kid knows you just mean he's messing up. When somebody else says it, boy. That's mean.
Did you go through a radical black consciousness period when you were in your teens?
No, you know, I didn't go through a red. I mean, I was in my teens. That's like the 80s. So it's not exactly the most conscious decade or time. You know, I was bused to school as a kid.
Mm-hmm. From where to where?
From Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn to Garrison Beach, Brooklyn, and to Bensonhurst. And, you know, I was getting called nigger since I was like in the second grade. So I never, I was always in tune with my blackness, from the time I was, in the second grade.
Weren't there a lot of other people from your neighborhood who got bused to Bensonhurst?
There was like a contingent, about like five of us.
Five, that's all?
Yeah, it wasn't, when I say the neighborhood, I'm just talking about like a block, like a two-block radius. You know, when you grow up like in a bad neighborhood, there's not a lot of venturing out. So my neighborhood was like two blocks to me. Then the rest of the neighborhood, I didn't go anywhere because anything could happen. My mother wasn't having it.
So how many African-American students would you say there were in the schools that you got
in the
to?
Schools? Okay. I was like the only black kid in my grade a couple of times.
Wow. Uh-huh.
I was the only black boy. And then there were like two black girls, three black girls. For like most of my grade school. And the girls had each other. I was kind of like by myself. And I would have, it's weird. Even though I would get, beat up and, all that other stuff. Of course, my best friend would end up being white in that same environment. Then he'd get beat up for being my friend. It's a weird circle of events.
So you think that contributed to your being a comedian because you were so alienated?
Yeah, I was alienated. And I had nothing else to do. I always loved comedy. I had nothing to fall back on. I have no real skills. If I picked up a paper right now and, went through the want ads, there's nothing I could get that would pay me more than minimum wage. So I loved comedy, got into it, was a little twisted. My schooling had twisted me somewhat. And it really helped me out. I mean, I would say probably today, a lot of black people, you don't really experience racism hands-on. You always, like my brothers who didn't get bused to school, like they experience the effects of racism, living in a bad neighborhood, you can't get the cab, bad jobs, all that stuff. But very few people get that, especially in the North, that, hey, nigga, that in your face every day. There's not a lot of guys my age that have been through what I've been through.
Now, I have a question about your voice. Your voice in your onstage performances, in when you're doing comedy, is much deeper, louder, and rougher than your voice in conversation, which is higher and lighter.
Right.
Almost sweeter, if I could use that word.
Oh, thanks.
And I almost feel like, are you not comfortable with that voice on stage? Do you feel like you need a harder-edged voice to do your comedy?
Well, it's the money's on the line. It's like people are paying $25. And they want a performance. They don't want me. They want me to be better than me. I got to look better than me. I got to be taller, louder, funny. I have to be more. So, I mean, when you're on stage, it's kind of like being a woman, It's like, put on the makeup, do the hair. Nobody wants me. They want Chris Rock. I'm just Chris.
so you got to put on a personality on stage.
Well, I got to be bigger than I normally am. I mean, at the same token, I couldn't walk through life acting the way I act on stage.
Well, right, without getting hit a lot, probably.
Right, exactly.
What did being really skinny, do you think, affect who you became and how people thought of you? Or, how you see yourself as a comic? Were you kind of scrawny as a kid?
I'm scrawny now as a man. Totally. Being skinny has affected every aspect of my life. Every decision I make, everything I put on. put it this way. Look at my stand-up. My stand-up, I have twice as many... I always say it's comedy, stand-up comedy and boxing are pretty much the same. You know, boxing is to sports what stand-up is to entertainment, because it's just a guy out there by himself. And I perform like a skinny boxer, where I don't have the ability... I don't have the ability to knock you out, so I have twice. I have you take my hour special and anybody else's hour special. I probably have twice as many jokes compact in it, because I'm so in my size has me so insecure. I'm always working twice as hard. So, yeah, being skinny has totally affected me and totally weirded me out.
Speaking of boxing,
men are crazy.
Did people fight with you a lot when you were young and take advantage of your size?
Totally.
Did you?
And the only reason they don't do it now is because I'm me.
Right, you're famous.
That's the only reason.
Did you learn to fight?
When you're as small as I am, it doesn't really matter.
Try martial arts or anything.
Martial arts. Some big guy will just grab you and throw you down. What's the point?
Did you try to cripple your opponent with comedy?
I've just, you know, stayed out of environments and situations where fights may occur. No drinking. Like, I don't drink because I can't fight. Wherever it is, alcohol served as a bouncer because people get out of hand. So I can't, too little to be around guys that get out of hand. So I can't drink. Poor, woe is me. I'm sure Woody and Spike think the same.
Right. Well, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you can have him on your show and talk about it. A little self-help.
Yeah. That's why I love Spike, Brooklyn and Skinny.
Chris Rock, recruited in 1997. The new season of The Chris Rock Show premieres tonight on HBO. This is Fresh Air.